The freakishly robust weather phenomenon, now known as Superstorm Sandy, has left millions without power and billions of dollars of damage in its wake as it moves westward across the country. We wondered whether a tragedy of this scale, a week before a presidential election that is still too close to call, could affect the outcome. So we turned to political scientist Dean Spiliotis for some perspective. Dean is civic scholar in the School of Arts and Sciences at Southern New Hampshire University. He's also author of the popular website, nhpoliticalcapital.com. Dean, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So what could the response to this disaster do for the election?
Yeah, this is a very tricky double-edged sword for President Obama because in recent years, particularly in the wake of Hurricane Katrina, the BP oil disaster, natural disasters and some large man-made disasters as well have become an integral part of how people assess a president's effectiveness. So President Obama is acutely aware of this. He has to be presidential. He has to serve both the symbolic role of kind of getting people to be tough in the face of adversity, but he also has to fulfill a logistical role. Increasingly, people look to the federal government, whether it's through the Federal Emergency Management Agency or other types of agencies, to help them with the disaster. So he obviously wants to use the opportunity to be presidential to help him electorally without seeming like he's actually doing that. So it's a very tricky role, because if you look like you're being instrumental or opportunistic, or you fail at it, both of those are going to hurt you at the election.
Well, is there enough time? What if everybody on the Eastern Seaboard doesn't have power for an extended period of time?
Right. That's a big question. That's a big unknown for anybody following politics or people who want to vote. It really depends on what happens over the next few days. It may have a big effect on turnout. So we're in a little bit of uncharted territory here.
Well, you mentioned Katrina. That, of course, is stamped in a lot of people's minds as not the best way to respond to a disaster, at least in public opinion. But we also have the Giuliani effect, how he rose to leadership after the September 11th attacks and, in fact, postponed a mayoral election that would have taken him out of power. What did these examples mean to us in our, I guess, collective vision of what leadership is in a disaster?
Well, it means that voters and citizens are looking for leaders who can handle the pressure, who can think big picture in terms of handling the logistics that are involved, who can provide a lot of kind of symbolic and emotional leadership to the population at a time where they may very well need it. Yeah, I mean, Rudy Giuliani's handling of the 9/11 crisis paid tremendous political dividends for him. And I'm sure at the time under the pressure, that's not what he was thinking about, but it just played out that way. People were very impressed by his leadership at the time. This is true at the gubernatorial level. You often talk about the need for governors to wear what I call wearing the windbreaker, to be able to show up at natural disasters, personal tragedies, and look like they have your best interest in mind. The biggest change for me since Katrina is what once was often considered, at least in part, kind of a state-level issue or a states' rights issue dealing with these kinds of crises, has now become completely the responsibility of the president and the federal government. The presidents now know to kind of put themselves in the middle of these crises immediately, otherwise pay a political price.
Well, we do have some record for how Obama has responded to disasters, both the natural disaster of Irene a year ago, which hit New England, especially Vermont, so hard, and the BP oil spill. Any reflections on his leadership in these incidents?
Well, the BP spill is particularly fascinating because it really shows the impact of technology on natural and man-made disasters, because we had that cam focused on the oil spilling out day after day after day. You could log into the internet and watch that thing 24 hours a day. It really has kind of changed the speed with which presidents react. You know, it's interesting, this election season, we really have not heard a lot about either the BP spill or the response to Irene. You occasionally hear about various state governments trying to learn lessons from Irene. Vermont's a good example. I heard they've already declared a state of emergency going forward because they learned from the flooding during Irene. So for whatever reason, President Obama's handling of those has not been a particularly big issue. This is different, though, because this is potentially a massive disaster, and it's literally 1 week before the election.
Mm-hmm. Is there an opportunity for the Romney campaign here?
Romney has to be careful, because if he looks like he is using a complicated situation or inserting himself into a difficult situation, and in a way kind of at least rhetorically interfering with presidential responsibility here, I think that would hurt him at the polls. The alternative is he gets to continue with his campaign in the rest of the country, and there are battleground states in the Midwest and the West where he can go and campaign. President Obama is going to be in a lot more of a constrained schedule.
Is this erratic weather hitting the East Coast? You know, 2 years in a row now, warnings of a huge impending storm. Just wondering, climate change going to make its way back onto the agenda with any of these candidates? We've heard so little about it this year.
We really have heard very little about it. Typically, when you look at polling data on issues of importance to individuals, climate change and the environment is typically down at number four or number five. So, perhaps, but it just seems to me that the two sides, progressives and conservatives, are so dug in on whether or not climate change is real, whether or not it's man-made or natural, I just think that we're very far apart in terms of kind of moving forward on that issue, even with something like this.
Last question, very logistical. What about actual interruptions in voting? I mean, early voting may be suspended in many states that are affected by Hurricane Sandy. What if there are millions without power next week?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a fascinating thing. We haven't really seen that. We don't really know how it would be handled. There will be all kinds of speculation about which kind of voting populations, you know, it's senior citizens or minorities or people who live out in rural areas that are hard to reach. You know, who is going to benefit and who's going to be hurt by some kind of disruption in this kind of, you know, massive voting turnout where we're looking to get over 100 million people voting. And what do you do if this is a prolonged crisis?
Going to be an interesting week, Dean. Thanks so much for joining us.
Sure, my pleasure.
Dean Spiliotis from the School of Arts and Sciences at SNU. He's also author of the popular website nhpoliticalcapital.com. Up next, our thoughts are with the millions still without power after Superstorm Sandy. They'll spend Halloween in compulsory darkness. Others will welcome the shadowy gloom of Old Hallows Eve. We're going to get some practical Halloween tips when word of mouth continues.